ta pū kua tai mai hei pana, tau toko anu I ngā kōrero e pāne ki a koe. Weko na ki a koe e tarangatira e tā maisa. Mō koe anu hei whakaapi mai I a mātou I tēnei hui huinga I tēnei whakamārama e nei o ngā ngāwe e heke mai ki a mātou nei Ngāti Kaupata. Oi anō mō mātou, tēnā nā reira tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. Uri ake nei ki a rātou ngā mata hiapō, kai wangi nui I tēnei rohe o tātou, kua he kūngaro. Nā reira koutou katoa tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou koutou katoa e te kumi ana kua tai mai, me kua anō ki a koe John, kai tō mihi anō ki a koe I roti I tēnei o tātou, Miria, te whānau, Ngāti Tōranga Tira, kai tō mihi anō ki a koe, me kua anō ki a koutou kua tai mai Judith, me kua anō ki a koe Gina, hoki atu nei ki a rātou Kiwiwa, kua tai mai I roti I tēnei o tātou, nā reira tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. Kia ora. Thank you for the opportunity and supporting. As you say, Amelia and John, I always feel very blessed. We do, all of us in Ngāti Kaupata, of having Sir Mason here with us. There was a suggestion this morning that perhaps I should go first. And I said, oh no, you never go in front of the sir. Kia ora. And so I'm really grateful that he has come to be able to share. And in the time that this whole episode started back in November 2019, when Minister Shane Jones arrived at Manfield to talk about a provincial growth fund distribution, and Kiwi Rail was the largest, I'd said to the minister at the time that we need to go and have a talk to some preeminent leadership of Ngāti Kaupata to make them aware of what was being proposed. Because that was Sir Mason, and Sir Eddie, and others. So I'm really, really grateful. So look, you've got my submissions there, and I can give a copy of this PowerPoint presentation. And the purpose that I'm here is really to augment the presentation by our whānau, our marae, our hapū, Ngāti Tahuri Wakanui, and Ngāti Kaupata, right? And to give the wider view. In terms of a lot of the references you'll see here in my presentation will be around Te awa o Orawa, and the impact North Stream, the impact of the Orawa River Reach, and the impact today where we're proposing around there at Bunnythorpe. And I'll have a map to show you that will give some further historical and traditional context connected to, as already mentioned by Sir Mason and Aorangi Marae, the cultural and the environmental impacts. So I really wanted to start with this particular map and the significance to spend a little bit of time, because I understand that you had an opportunity to go and visit some of the sites on the weekend again, which was good. Secondly, this map here was originally back in 1866. All right, so you'll see in my submission that Ngāti Kaupata came into this region in 1822, 40 years before Te Tiriti o Waitangi actually got signed. And when we came into the area, we were the only people in this region. And this whole area of the Manawatū was covered in forest and bush and swamps and waterways, this whole area. Okay? This block here on the outside of it is the equivalent of 4,500 acres of what we know historically as the Aorangi Block. And there's an extension to that that we needed to show you in here. So the main through us is this here, the Orawa River. Starts up at the headwaters of the Ruahine and makes its way down through the farmlands, through the township of Fielding, out through Awahuri, and then out to the junction at Rangiotu Marae. And you saw a photo of Rangi Marae, Marae and Sir Mason's presentation. In this particular, the three marae is here is Aorangi, the other marae here is Kaupata, and the third marae here is Iwa Te Kau Maiwa. So up until 1935, we had the three active marae that were gazetted, and Urupa connected to those three marae of Ngāti Kaupata. So the point I need to say to you that by whakapapa, but arriving from Tairui Waka, Ngāti Kaupata is a separate iwi in its own right. I noticed in earlier submissions, some people seem to be getting confused, but just be absolutely sure about that. By whakapapa. We are, we can never be, we never will be different. However, as a result of that, Ngāti Kaupapa, and particularly in some of the historical context, we were branded as non-sellers. We were branded as Kingites, supporters of the Kingitanga. We were also branded, for the sake of it, as being a sub-tribe of Raukawa. And what I'm saying here by whakapapa, that will never be, wasn't ever, and can never, not even today. And so it's important. So this land here, 4,500 acres, you see the blue pieces, the green pieces, and the orange and the red, and those pieces there is approximately 183 acres of land that's left. So 0.04 of the land that we once owned there is now still in our hands, and that's how we're holding them. Noticeable that the nearest marae to the proposed freight hub land, inland port is our marae at Aorangi, direct, and our marae at Kaupata. That's why it was important that this presentation be done for Aorangi. You need to appreciate that that's the direct, closest, active marae in this region of Ngāti Kaupata. And I know you've got other presentations later on in the week, but it's important that that statement is made. Secondly, more importantly here, in terms of the whenua, this line here, this red line here, is known as Cameron's line. There is a line, as Sir Mason had in his presentation, that we are wanting to do, has changed that name of Cameron because of what it represented way back in the Māori Wars. There's a lot of names that have been hoisted on us as Ngāti Kaupata in this region in the 182 years that we've been here. Names like Kitchener, names like Cameron, all those sort of things were hoisted on us, and not at our liking, as Sir Mason has said, and others of our people are saying, that people need to understand this. But this whole area in here, back for us, was our historical and our traditional background was through Ngāti Tahuri Wakanui at Aorangi Marae, Ngāti Hinepare at Kaupata, at Te Arakura, and Ngāti Tūroa at Awahuri. And our arrival here through Te Heke Mai I Raro, and a journey from Maunga Tautari in South Waikato. And we did in fact come at the request of our tūpuna, Te Raupaha, that we brought with us and our people into this area, and we were led by our ancestor, Tapata Whata. But what I also want to do is explain to you in terms of the historical and traditional background, is with us being here that it wasn't in the 1870s by Mr. Julius Vogel, who became the first in Parliament, became the first Minister of Immigration, and the first Minister for the Public Works Act in 1870. And that railway lines were seen as an access for newly arriving settlers to come inland and for colonisation. And of course, what a lot of people looked at was the land around where Kaupata is now, saw it as being fertile, saw it as being the area, and then went after it. Okay? And so in some cases, they needed an act of parliament to be able to achieve that, and for the Crown to be able to take ownership of land. And so at our recent Waitangi Tribunal hearings, we had Dr. Heather Bassett, a renowned researcher, who wrote a report about what had happened in terms of the railways. And so the railways coming from Palmerston North to Whanganui line back in 1893, and they're from the area Turakina back towards the Bunnythorpe, where it is now, they took 488 acres of land under the Public Works Act by proclamation. And so that in 1905, we know there was 293 acres of land taken from settlers who had come into the region. We know that 56 acres was taken by Māori owners and the rest was taken by the Crown. And so there are issues still with railways out of Kākāriki around the Piaka block, and those of Ngāti Rangatahi, and you saw the photo of Te Hiri or Mahuta Marae, and those of us at Kawakawa at Aorangi, at Fielding, and at Bunnythorpe. And as far as we know, There was not known of any compensation was paid to those landowners involved. We could not find any records, despite the research. And so what I'm saying to you is that this land was taken from us illegally. And at our recent Waitangi Tribunal, we made it clear that to the Crown officials of the day, some of their actions could only be regarded as scurrilous. Some of their actions were bordering on corrupt. Some of the actions were seen as defrauding and highly illegal. And Ngāti Kaupata called them out. We called them out. And so again, coming back to the foundations that we wanted to be able to put behind all this notice of requirements by Kiwi, well, with our three marae. You should be aware. These are kaupata marae. These are nobody else's. And so the other area that we're talking about now, and I was pleased to hear that you had been to have a look, is this area where the proposed site between Kiwirau and ourselves. And we don't agree. Ngāti Kaupata does not agree with site number three. And there are very, very good reasons for that. And the reasons, I'll go back to this original map. The original map here of the land that was taken, we suffered as Ngāti Kaupata in areas of deforestation. We suffered from land clearing and drainage. We suffered from waterways and our impact on our aquifers, on our puna. We suffered on major pollution of our area around the Orawa River particularly. And John, you'd be aware of this in terms of the reach. But we suffered from that. We also suffered from the intensification of agriculture. And we also suffered from the effects of transport and railway. That Cameron line that I was pointing out to you, that was taken. And when the roading engineers were coming down from that end, Ward Road coming down here, they all of a sudden decided they turned left. There's a bow in the road that we all know about. And they started coming down this part of it because it was Māori land. And they just took it. And that's part of our claim. But what I'm telling you, in 180 years, this is what we've had to be subjected to as Ngāti Kaupata. And that's been impacting on our marae's and our people, as Sir Mason has been talking about. But you should also note that the Ahua Tūranga Taonui wetlands, as a child growing up in that whole area, that was known to us as our Pataka Kai. It was massive. And so our people came into this area because of this area around here. As a child, it was known to me as the Taonui Swamp area. But it was not unheard of by us by 1890s that settlers had arrived. They'd realised that this was fertile land. And so they took on a deliberate campaign of a scorched earth approach on Ngāti Kaupata. They denuded our land, they took our forests, they put up a number of timber mills, they put up flax mills so that they could get it. But what they were after was that land that was sitting underneath it. And as Māori, to survive, we're hunter-gatherers. We're not pastoralists or agriculturalists. But that's what happened to us. And so the reason why I'm showing you this and taking this time on this area here, the Bunnythorpe area is right on the fringes of that area that we knew as Te Ahua Tūranga o Taonui. And our tūpuna of those days, back Koro Te One and others, Tapata Pata, we were arguing with the government of the day to ensure that we got this piece of land over here outside. And that's still our case today. And so we had to deal with people like Featherston and McLean and Fox in those days as to what they were doing to us. But the agenda was colonisation. The agenda was that they needed that land, and they were bringing in settlers from overseas that had actually bought the country over three times. Aotearoa had been bought out. And so what had to happen? Someone had to go. And someone had to go was Ngāti Kaupata, our hapu of Tahuri Wakanui, Ngāti Tūroa, Ngāti Hinepane. And so we're fortunate, but we are putting up today in our case to the Waitangi Tribunal, the Court of Inquiry, that we're one of the most landless iwi in the country because of what happened here. So I just want to take the time so that the Commission and Kiwirau hear what we're talking about based on what Sir Mason has talked about, our marae at Aorangi, and more so about us as Ngāti Kaupapa. I just want to move on now to the other areas of say here. I heard today and about the closure of Railway Road. We're not opposed to that. We're not opposed to that at all because of some of the mate that our people have had to endure. So I acknowledge me mihanu ki a rātou ngā te whānau karepe, ngā tamaiti he mate ana I roti I tēnei o tātou. Weku anō ki a koe e te whāe e June, inong. Mōku anō ki a rātou nei ngā takuta tō te haukohi pera. Recent deaths that have occurred on that railway road that you would have driven down. And we had said to them that that's Death Valley for us as Ngāti Kaupapa. We lost two young boys in there, our karepe family and their mother, Joanne Bowler. And so we know. So we get uncomfortable. We've made this clear to Kiwi around our conversation. We get uncomfortable when you start talking about that. I see that map that sits up here. It makes me cringe. Because from our point of view, from a cultural point of view, it impacts us. Yes, we've had to enact ceremonies like whakawātea, whakaritiriti, whakapāinga, whakatapungia, because of that's what happened to us. And we've been trying to make people understand that from an iwi point of view, we've been here 180 years. We're not going anywhere. Right? Kaupapa is here to stay. And so you need us in this place. We want to be in this place. We need to be in this place. Okay? And that's some of the relationship that we do. I just want to just go on to now so some of the areas of what we call pollution. Okay? Some of those tributaries that run into from the Orawa and then feed out to us and to our puna, to our aquifers. There was a case recently where the fielding stockyards and fielding an icon to some people where they decided to wash all the annual tickle out into the stream and went down into our stream in there. And it degraded our waterway. Right? And that's the sort of things that we're talking about in terms of pollution. Other areas of this, when I was a child growing up at Kaupapa, didn't appreciate what that was when it first started coming in the late 60s, early 60s when we were doing that. And then when our old people, our kaumātua, our kuia, our karaua at the marae said, banned us from using the rivers because of that. The green algae, the periphyton, right? Combination of what was coming out of the filling wastewater treatment plants, raw sewage, raw toxin going out and into the Orawa River. The impacts of nitrogen, phosphorus, sunlight, and the low river brought us plenty of that. As a child, I just thought it was good slime to play in. Didn't realise the damage that it was doing. And so Ngāti Kaupapa has got a rāhui on that in our watch, all of us sitting here, we want to be able to lift that rāhui and to be able to use that waterways, not only those waterways, but the other waterways that impinge on where we're talking about now. Another that we found in this region is what they call periphyton and feridium and the black algae. Toxic to cattle, toxic to dogs, and again found in this river. And again needs to be known in terms of the pollution and of the northern part and going down through and beside where the proposed needs to be. That's an example of that. Doc found that about 8 years ago, found that and gave it to us and said, look, you got it in your river. We need to deal with that as the motion is saying, and we agree. We've been protesting about what's been going on with our waterways, what's been going on with all that for a long, long time. But, put that fight up because it includes my father, Herbert Tumwana Emery. That's way back there, the protesters. So even then we were protesting about what was happening to our whenua and what was happening to our waterways and happening to you. So come back to you that you need to understand ourselves, that from Ngāti Kaupapa's point of view, there's some things that have been happening that ought not to happen. If you follow it properly, you don't need to. And so here we are, saying that we feel betrayed in some of the with Kiwira. And so the point I want to make back to you is that, yes, there is place for, but Ngāti Kaupapa isn't rolling over here. Ngāti Kaupapa needs to be dealt with and dealt with properly. Ngāti Kaupapa needs to have those understandings and agreements in place. We can give you the models to do that. We can give you the answers. And we're, as you see from summation there, we're already giving you some remedies. We're already giving you something but you need to take it. But don't do the scorched earth approach on us. Don't do the spit screen on us and just put a whole lot of asphalt in there and say, that's a harbour, that's a waterland, that's going to be an inland port. Don't do that to us, because I can tell you the area that they're talking about at the moment, Kiwi Rana, I've told them is, there's puna under there, there's wahi tapu under there, and there's areas that we need to deal with. And we're telling you today that we can deal with it if you'll listen to us. And so we know your role is about making recommendations. The role has to be from iwi. You have heard from us today. And so the iwi in terms of the cultural integrity, the cultural input, the environment input, our health input, our transport and our railways, you need to take care of what Ngāti Kaupata and our marae and our hapū and our whānau members are saying. So I will finish there, because the conclusion that's in motion, it's got in there as conclusion that we overall agree with and support.
Kia ora. Thank you. Very good.
Tēnā koe matua. Ka nui te mihi atu ki a koe, ki a koutou Ngāti Kaupata, koe tai mai nei ki rungi te kaupapa nui o te rā. A nā reira, tēnā koutou katoa. Thank you once again for your submission. And for augmenting what Tā Meihana had talked about in relation to Aorangi Marae. You have raised and traversed a breadth and depth of issues that obviously are going to require a lot of teasing out, and that's something that only you can do. Only the mana whenua can do that. And we have heard that from Kiwi Rail. Throughout this process, appears to be the reason why there is no cultural values assessment that's been provided as part of the application, because neither them nor the council are in a position to be able to provide that. That's solely within the domain of mana whenua, which we tautoko. But on that question of cultural values, and I'll come back to a few questions in relation to what you've presented today, but can you provide the panel with an update or any comfort around where progress might be in terms of reaching agreement on a process moving forward to identify what those cultural values are and how they might be adequately and appropriately managed and mitigated going forward?
Thank you, and a good question. Last week we heard submitters talking about a model that's been used now by Waka Kotahi around the roading project, and in our view, because we are part of it, it's part of an alliance approach. It's about collaboration. It's about cooperation and about understanding mātauranga Māori, the Māori worldview on where those things are, and that's a roading project. I had said to Kiwi Rail earlier that if we could avoid having to come in front of yourselves and the cost associated with it, and spend more time getting to that sort of framework, that sort of approach, than I believe. So you raise a very good question. And yes, we have been having conversations about how can we do this ourselves as an alliance model that works together, and we have been talking with neighbouring hapū and iwi about having them involved with us, but understanding that Ngāti Kaupata is primary. But we have, as we said earlier, Sir Mason had in his presentations, we have models, and I think he alluded towards it, but there are others, and it's got to be, because it is largely through Ngāti Kaupata has a plan that we call Kaupata 2040, Kaupata to the year 2040. We've got 18 more years to go, but there is a plan that's been there for some time, that we're able to work our way through this. So we know that there's a methodical, a pretty clear understanding, and a very, from our point of view, with the iwi input, with Te Tiriti and a framework around it, that we can put it together. Mm-hmm. And that you just need, really, to trust Ngāti Kaupata. We're a nice people. We're lovely people, actually. But and if you trust us, we'll get it there, because what's good for us, and this whole region, is good for everybody.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
Kia ora for that response. I understand and hear what you're saying, and I am reasonably familiar with the Alliance model, having been a commissioner on that hearing for Te Ahua Tūranga. My reading of Tā Meihana's model takes the Alliance one a few steps further. And it seems to me that what he is suggesting is a truly partnership-based approach, you know, to operating and implementing the freight hub, both from the design stage right the way through for the entirety of its life. And that's not something I don't believe that we've necessarily seen before, but it is something that I think we're all striving for. Are your discussions with Kiwi Rail based on that kind of model, taking it further?
It hasn't been clearly as clearly enunciated with Kiwi Rail in the discussions we've had, but certainly in terms of what we've raised today, Nathan, in terms of opportunities around employment, around scholarship, around education, around training, around procurement, right, and being part of the model. Then yes, we certainly do, and our experience, and one of the comments that Mason said in his presentation was particularly post-COVID. Post-COVID, we were one of the first iwi that were able to get off on the ground quickly around around our health, our sanitation and food for our people. But in between all that, while we were in our bubbles, we ran a survey with our people, and the question was this: we will survive this ngangara, this thing called COVID-19 pandemic. As a people, we will survive. The question is, how will we thrive? I've never seen it, but we had to close our two marae down during COVID. Never seen it before. But those were the sort of impacts we do. And there were three key questions that came out of that survey that we had with our people. And they were telling us. The first one was around housing. Housing in this whole region is chronic. It's critical, right? The second was new jobs. I had a nephew of mine lost his job three times in COVID. And then the third was our people saying to us there's new opportunity of new Māori business that will be attached to things like the roading, like the freight hub, like the hospital, like the road, the ring road. There will be an opportunity for us. So our people could see this coming, and they could see how can we as new Māori business be part of that. And they are coming with some of these ideas. They're percolating at the moment. They're coming to us with all these sorts of ideas. And so we're saying, hold on to that. And we need to get back. As we get through this process, we need to get back to try and answer your questions you asked. Is that? Yes, we are.
Ka pai. So there was mention, I think, in your original submission of kawenata. That was under discussion with Kiwi Rail, and I think that was sitting outside of the NLR process, so it wouldn't necessarily be imposed as a condition on the designation. Is that the context in which your discussions are occurring?
Yes, that's correct. Kawanata agreement, when the CEO and Shane Jones came and visited us at our second meeting at Te Manawa Museum, the Tainui co-martyrs for the board of Kiwi Rail were with us, and they brought over a paper to Sir Mason and I. It was called a kawanata, a relationship agreement, and suggested to us, and we have taken it up, that this might be something that from Waikato Tainui to Ngāti Kaufata, and particularly through our Kingitanga connection, that you might want to consider. Yes, it has been there, and we have it's part of our conversations, but we didn't want to get ahead of ourselves until this process. Our Waitangi Tribunal process.
Yes.
Because the ability to be able to give the narrative, the ability to be able to tell the stories, particularly what happened, and understanding the historical and traditional content had to be taught.
Yes, and I understand from your original submission that Ngāti Kaufata is working through the Waitangi Tribunal process at the moment. which we acknowledge. I know how difficult it is, and I understand your point about not wanting to commit to conditions or any aspect of the proposal that may undermine your treaty claim. Having said that, there is a key condition that I'm hoping you're aware of, because we've heard from KiwiRail that the way in which potential adverse cultural effects will be addressed will be through the imposition of a condition on the notice of requirement that requires KiwiRail to develop a mana whenua engagement framework. Are you familiar with that condition, and have you been involved in discussions with KiwiRail to flesh that out and to clearly establish what the principles and the outcomes will be from Ngāti Kaupata's point of view?
The short answer is yes.
Good.
I have seen them, but again, I've echoed again to KiwiRail, our hesitancy, because the story has to be told. And if you don't get that, you don't know what you're wanting in that framework, the mana whenua framework. So we have seen it, but at the moment we're not jumping handsprings around this one. We want to be absolutely sure that people understand what Ngāti Kaupata's concerns are, understand that there are potential conclusions or remedies, and we need to understand that we need to be at the table at the decision-making those. And so that's when part of a framework, which may include an alliance-type approaching, it may ensure that those tikanga, those values, that koa, that protocol, that we know as Ngāti Kaupata, mai I te waka tainui, that we are following those to what we need to be able to achieve. And we need to be absolutely certain about it. So yes, we have. We're again, some might say keeping our powder dry, but again, having just gone through 2 full weeks of hearings to the Waitangi Tribunal, and you're dead right, Ngāti Kaupata won't do anything that will undermine or usurp that claim. Because it is about the whenua. It is about what we call te pene raupatu. He kōrero ana ki a mātou nei, kaua e muru raupatu, kaua e tuku raupatu, engari ko te pene raupatu. Our land wasn't taken by confiscation.
Yeah.
Our land wasn't taken by force. Our land was taken by the stealth of the pen. Only tribe ever happened to. You're looking at them.
Kia ora. Well, thank you for that clarification. It sounds to me as though you're looking to establish within the context of that mana whenua engagement framework two aspects to dealing with the adverse cultural effects, one being identifying what the cultural effects are and then processes and structures potentially to mitigate them. And the second being the context within which the relationship will be formalised. Is that right?
Yes, but it may not be exactly how they've written it.
Yes, no, I understand.
Right. And so yes. Ngāti Kaupata preserves the right.
Absolutely.
To give it our lens.
Well, and my understanding, based on the KiwiRail response to questions asked by the council, is that their attitude towards this condition was that it was to be the prerogative of the iwi, of the mana whenua, in this case Ngāti Kaupata, to clearly establish from your own perspective what those key elements of the framework should be. That's clearly outlined in the Section 92 response, but I take your point that it isn't necessarily reflected in the wording of the condition as it currently sits. If there was to be wording that made it more clearly Ngāti Kaupata's prerogative to determine what the content of that framework would be, would that make the condition more acceptable to you?
We use a word called capture. And what we mean by that we will not allow KiwiWell to capture us. And so on those basis, and so that we just become one of those groups that you can just tick the brown box on.
Mm.
It's not going to happen. But we are able to contribute to putting up something that will work for both parties. We've got models. We've got people that are very clever about putting this up,
mm.
about how it works. So I've seen the values that they want. But again, as I said to them before, I don't want to end up being that all we've done is to tick the brown box for you.
Mm.
It's not going to happen.
Mm. Thank you for that response. It's very helpful to clarify the position of Mana Whenua, because as you've seen during the course of last week, we've been operating in a relative vacuum in that regard. So I'm finding it really helpful. Sure. And I appreciate your indulgence as we work through this issue. I'm just conscious of the fact that if there is no agreement, and I'm not suggesting that you should be rushing towards reaching an agreement with KiwiRail, because it's obviously got to be mana enhancing and protecting for Ngāti Kaupata in the first instance. That, as it being as it may, you know, there could be some time required to achieve that. And I'm just wondering how we would deal with the absence, say, of an agreed position between KiwiRail and yourselves over how potential cultural effects will be dealt with.
Well, I think there would be no action. We would require that no action is taken until we clarify that, until we reach an agreement. So it would be a critical part of the process.
Mm. Okay, thank you. In terms of the relief that you were seeking in your original submission, you had said there that you were seeking the withdrawal of the notice of requirement to enable discussions with KiwiRail to continue. Is that your position still? Is that what Tā Meihana is really referring to? That
again, we said the other day to KiwiRail, this is a part of a necessary evil. There's two processes running here. This process and the process that we were looking to continue to engage on in terms of kanoi ki te kanoi dialogue, going through each and agreeing a position. We're pretty clear, and it stated at our marae when we were there, we're pretty clear that there's some priorities that we want done first. Right? But we weren't closing the door on any of this. But we know that we have to be sitting down there. We just don't want to leave it to anybody else to do.
I understand. Okay. So if there were... if the things that you have highlighted, you've asked for in your submission and are seeking as relief, for instance, the establishment of the decision-making panel and within the context of an alliance-type arrangement, without necessarily having any flesh on it, you know, that would be left to Ngāti Kaupata to determine and discussion with KiwiRail, would something like that be a way forward that gives you some certainty that this process has to be worked through, and it has to reach a point of agreement from your point of view, while at the same time allowing for the freight hub, you know, our proposal to be advanced. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, I'm reflecting back now to the Oroa River itself and a declaration that we had signed with the Manawatu District Council at the time in December 2015. But the police at Sir Mason wrote the declaration for us. And we were able to put that through and have it signed with the mayor of the day. And so those are examples that we have been using and we will continue to use to be able to get us away through that. It may not be as prescribed as some people see it, but so long as Taupata is there and we're fully conversant of what's happening, then fine. But we will find a way through. It has to meet all of those.
Thank you. So I just needed to get a sense from you of your where you feel that this is going. I mean, it sounds as though you're optimistic that you're in reasonable alignment with KiwiRail, but it's a matter of working through the detail. Would that be fair?
Yeah, that's a fair indication. Just recently, in terms of our Waikato-Tainui connection. Intent to have some further conversations about that. So on that basis, we will. But, you know, we've put up some fairly compelling narrative today, fairly compelling stories today.
Yes.
That has to be heard.
Yes, I understand. Thank you very much. Just a couple of really easy questions for you now. I was interested in what you were in the history that you gave during your presentation and the Public Works Act takings in 1870, obviously the alienation of huge swathes of Ngāti Kaupata land as a result of that and the implications that have followed. I'm not sure whether I picked up from you that land that was taken under the Public Works Act back then encompasses the freight hub site, does it, or not?
Any whenua for us that it's so important to us that we have, as Sir Mason mentioned, it's part of our popo, called mana whenua, and that's about increasing the iwi estate. That's what that's about. Okay? And so we've got an obligation. We've accepted it as a tribe. We've got an obligation to ensure those who are there.
I'm stating something I'm not sure is relevant to the question you asked, but what tends to happen is we get a suggestion from KiwiRail to comment on.
Okay.
Right, and so the framework is shaped around the established protocol. The other way of doing it is to say, well, we've got an agenda for 2040. How will you fit into that, KiwiRail?
Yeah.
It would be another way of looking at it.
Yes, yes.
So if we use our framework, they've got one, and where do those two frameworks meet? But our response need not be shaped by their suggestion.
Yes, thank you. That's very helpful. Okay, just one more question. You mentioned site number 3, and I'm not sure whether I found any reference to that in your submission. Can you please just point that out to me? And is that within the freight hub site? And what is its significance?
When KiwiRail first showed us the 8 sites, there were 8 sites that they had down in the first map, and it's in one of our other presentations.
Yeah.
Yeah, site number 1 was actually where Stella is today. Site number 2 is the Tānui Aerodrome, or Tānui School.
Mm-hmm.
And site number 3 is this site here down below, as you come down Railway Road, down in there. There is a number of puna in there. There are a number of aquifers in there. And you if you've been passing lately, you'll see that there's water everywhere. Every now and again, when it rains, that will flood that whole area. And just over here, it's Cleveland Line, is where June died. And that's why we're saying to you, there was two tamariki, our boys died on that corner there. That's Death Valley to us. E wahi mate. You know, and kaiwara would not be comfortable about having anything to do with that, and I'm hearing from the people there. And our viewers, that we're saying, is move the freight up as further as eastward from Aorangi Marae is best. We put it in there. And that's why we're saying that to you. And it can happen. You just have to redesign it, but give the designers to us. We'll show you how to do it.
Thank you. And this is the very last question, I promise. You did mention in your submission that the freight hub proposal would result in the modification and destruction of Wahitapu. We've had an archaeological report that has not identified any known or registered Wahitapu or Wahitupuna within the confines of the designation site. Are these Wahitapu you're referring to within the designation extent?
Yes, I heard the archaeologist's reply, and I said he hadn't got it right. You know, but how would he? I mean, we're the ones that lived here all this time. We're not going anywhere. So we know, and people, a partner sitting beside me, who used to go through all those waterways, go through all those, and get tuna and get watercress, get kai down here with myself. He won't go there now because of the pollution that's been going on there. But that was a site that was plentiful for us. It was part of our food cup and our patakakai. And so, I heard it. I went, okay, fair enough. He doesn't know what we know. Okay? And so it's right that kaupata comes in and put the story right for you to do that. So, yep, so in that area there, there was a young child who was there on the Mangaone. And the Mangaone stream there, Mangaone, that's a puna. That starts as a puna. Comes out of the ground. In that whole area around the Ahua Tūranga, there's something like 1,200 bores put into the ground. Manatū District Council's got some of the biggest ones, and they're drawing off water to put drinking water into filling, and we're going through these three waters for them at the moment. But at sometimes during the summertime, our marae and Aorangi runs out of water. Everybody else was running their balls in that area there. And that we knew it was an aquifer. It's a huge aquifer underneath it. And the approach from Kiwiwa was close your minds, put that diagram up and just blitz screen it. Just block it all off. And that's what we're saying, no, you will not do that. You want to get some business out of this. You will not do that. You'll come and talk to us and we'll show you and we'll tell you. I took them on a bus, tried to show them. It didn't appear to have worked.
Thank you. I'm not going to ask you for details around those wahitapu, but knowing now that there are wahitapu located within the designation extent will obviously require further close interaction and collaboration between yourselves and KiwiRail as to how best to manage that situation. Do you think that the accidental discovery protocol, which is the standard way of addressing potential destruction of wahitapu, wahitupuna, archaeological sites that are unknown, is sufficient in this case, given that you know of wahitapu in the area? So presumably you would know where they are and you would be able to alert the contractors, KiwiRail, to the location of those sites before any construction occurs. But an accidental discovery protocol isn't going to do that.
Yeah, so thank you for that question too, Media. Our people talked to us about a process called Ngā Hahunga. And it's a process around the spiritual cleansing of kōiwi. So we're actually being able to take that ceremony to this roading project team and put it in there and have the other 4 iwi agree to it.
Ah, good point.
Right. And so while we've been watching where this goes, you know, and again, we put it up, move that site further along there, then you won't have any of that problem. In the meantime, we have a process called ngā hahunga.
Okay. Kapai, so I'm comforted to know that you will be taking care of all of that side of things, and there's no requirement on us to make provision for that.
You just make a comment that archaeological evidence is based on science.
Mm.
Wahitapu is based on Mātauranga Māori.
Yes.
The two are not the same.
Mm. Kia ora. Thank you for that. All right, I think that must surely bring me to the end of my questions. Thank you very much for your indulgence, and I appreciate your responses. Kia ora.
I'm the only other person on the panel who has some questions, so I'll commence. One of them is just a question of interest. My recollection is that Fielding's on the Manchester block. Has that got some history in terms of Ngāti Kauwhata?
There's two blocks, the Denby and the Manchester.
Hmm.
Right, and back at Awahuri, at our map there, that was going to be the original township for Ngāti Kauwhata at Awahuri. It wasn't until a English colonel on a big white steed charger came up, went past her and ended up going into some block there. He called the Manchester block and the Denby block. And for that, they named the whole area Fielding and spelled Fielding back to front.
Mm.
Right? So, but that's the history of it.
Right.
And he came, apparently, he came to back from England 3 times to have a look at his new township under his name, Fielding. Right. For us, the name is Kawakawa.
Kawakawa. So that's the historical name of that area, Kawakawa. And I was interested in the Ahua Turanga Tainui wetlands. Are those immediately south of the subject site, or do they include it?
More west, but where that site is there now, that's on, we call it on the fringes, right on the fringes of the Ahua Turanga. The site.
Yeah. Just clarify some impressions in my own mind. This narrative of dispossession and change that you're currently explaining to the Waitangi Tribunal, you're attributing some importance to getting that determined by the Tribunal, which is the forum for providing that historical narrative in a formal way, before engaging with KiwiRail. Is that in a way to create a platform for KiwiRail as a sort of surrogate of the Crown to understand and comprehend the situation in an historical form? Is that the idea?
Yeah. So that's the approach to do that, because we just deal with all as the Crown in our case. All our claims have been against the Crown.
Yeah.
But it's all those legacies. It includes our regional council, our district council, KiwiRail, AFCO, all of those people that have an impact in that whole area for us. So,
And one consequence if the KiwiRail hub proceeds is potentially the release of the existing land in Palmerston North where the rail yards are. Does that provide an opportunity for Crown land to go into the treaty basket for settlement? And is that a potential benefit in the sense that there might not be other land, so much Crown land available to settle that claim?
Yes, and that's certainly where KiwiRail is now on Tremaine Avenue. Mm. There's some areas there that can be redeveloped, and we certainly will want to be in that conversation, but so would Rangitane need to be in that particular one.
Right.
But out at Ashes, for instance, there's right on the bend by the petrol station, there's a new piece of land that's been set aside, was found surplus to the Crown's needs, which was the railways, and Kaupata applied and got it put into the land bank.
Mm.
So it is sitting in the land bank, and a couple of times when we've been trying to sort out our issues in front of Aorangi Marae, and the RT that Sir Mason mentioned earlier, is that whether we would be able to swap some of our land for to do that, because it's already been in, agreed to be in our land bank for our treaty settlements.
There are limits to our powers to delay or prevent the designation, if we approve it, from proceeding. In other words, there's limits on our powers. But in the context of what you've described, are you also, if we were minded to approve or recommend to Kiwi Rail the requirement proceed, that there is some comprehension by Kiwi Rail of the implications of the tribunal's determinations and using that as a platform for engagement with Ngāti Kaupapa? Is that what you're inviting us to recommend?
It has to be. As I stated before, we won't do anything that will undermine our claim. So you make a good point, but that all has to come into consideration. I think the other that important is the transport issue, you know, and how that's going to be dealt with when we sit out our marae at Aorangi and we watch what's happening all the time and working out, trying to find a remedy for that. And that might take some real innovation, some real futuristic thinking about how we might deal with the transport both in and out to do that. So, for us, those conversations can and should be had, and for that, and we are thinking about ways to be able to mitigate all those. So, in terms of yourselves putting up the recommendation, but has to make sure that those concerns are there, that conditions you might want to call them, but those concerns are met with, because otherwise, you will find up against the wall of Ngāti Kaupapa and others.
Hmm. Kia ora, thank you very much. Thank you for coming. Kia ora, thank you.
We've got some builders coming in.
The panel just needs five minutes after this presentation, and then we'll be ready to go. Thank you.